Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, March 11th, 2012. Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode number 6 of OVW Overview right here on the Georgia Wrestling Radio History Network, GWH.com. I am Trent Vandrese, and you are not. And well, it's March Madness time here in Kentucky, and I'm not too big on men running up and down the court in shorts, but I do enjoy watching sweaty men in tights have fake fights, so go explain that one to your local psychiatrist. and but as Bob Dylan once said, the times they are changing. I guess that's certainly the case here on March 11th, which is the start of daylight savings time here in 2012. And boy, in the case of Ohio Valley Wrestling in the past month, the times certainly have changed. We've seen a new talent arbitrator replace the old talent arbitrator. We have a brand-new OVW heavyweight champion, Smooth Johnny Spade, who was also issued a brand-new title belt. One-legged Iraqi war hero Michael Hayes was reinstated to pro wrestling, and I'm sure we'll be getting into that today. Former guest on the show, Jason Wayne, was injured a few weeks ago, out of wrestling, career possibly over, we don't know, he's gone. Prince Bowen was shaved bald a few weeks ago. He had a full head of hair, now he's bald. There's also new tag team champions, the TNA combination, both TNA talent. Jesse Godders and Ralph Terry are the new tag team champions within the past month. All kinds of stuff going on. We're going to talk about it all today. We have a great guest today. This should be a fun show. And I didn't talk to anybody before the show here, so I'm flying blind. So I'm going to go ahead and assume that my trusty Georgia co-host Larry Goodman is on the line. Are you there, Larry?
You are correct, sir. Everyone is on the line. Everyone's in the house here.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, this should be a lot of fun. Well, first of all, let's introduce our other esteemed co-host, none other than the fake Persian with the swimmer's build, Muhammad Ali Vaez. How are you doing today, Ali?
And what a swimmer's build it is these days, Mr. Vandrese. However, let me go ahead and make a few corrections on your introduction. I would like to point out that the current OVW Southern Tag Team Champions is the family. All four of us. All four of us. If you would attend live events, you would see that the family interchangeably is defending the Southern Tag titles because the talent arbitrator is on our side and we make the rules because, quite frankly, we have all the talent and the swimmer's builds. And in addition, you mentioned that now is the time of change in OVW, and I think that change was very well represented by me debuting a new set of tights on this past Wednesday's television product. That's right. Muhammad Ali Vaez in the swimmer's build wearing red and silver. Never been seen before. So, yeah, that's what's going on with us today. How you guys doing?
Very nice. Doing good, doing good. Now, I've seen you wear some red tights before, but were these different ones than the other red tights you have?
It must have been at a live event, Trent, because that is the first time I have ever worn red on Ohio Valley Wrestling's television product.
Okay.
So I'm talking, you know, the tight tights, the short tights, not the long tights. You know, the kind that shows off swimmers' build size.
And I was going to get into the tag team thing, your guys version of the Freebird rule. And I got a few more questions about that later on because I wasn't. I mean, I know that Rudy Switchblade was actually in the match when Karrion Goddard won, but you were not. So I wasn't sure if you were actually part of the tag team. I mean, the champions are Karrion Goddard, but I wasn't sure if you were actually actively defending those titles as well. I wasn't sure about that. So
on live events and whatnot, yes. However, you know, it's family rules. And the family rule is that we make the rules. So it's kind of like whatever we like doing that day is kind of what happens because our esteemed talent arbitrator, Ms. Josette Bynum, she is a fair and just ruler. She is quite a contrast to the tyranny and repression that is represented by Frank Miller, otherwise known as Trailer Park Trash. And indeed, that man is trash. So, you know, it's one more advantage that the family has because at any given moment, no tag team knows what combination of the family is going to be defending those tag titles. It could be the speed, the cunning, and the technical prowess of Rudy Switchblade. It could be the awesome and overwhelming power that is Rob Terry. It could be, you know, the spectacular skills of Jesse Godders. Or it could be me, Muhammad Ali Baez. You never know. That makes it really difficult to prepare in advance and to come up with a game plan, and that's the way the family likes it.
Ali, you have to admit that Josette Bynum has been less than successful so far in her role. I mean, the family's lost the heavyweight title, and how could you possibly be in the position where Michael Hayes is back as an active wrestler in OVW?
Wow.
Okay. All right. I knew this was going to come up. Michael Hayes, you know, that kid has a lot of resilience. But let's just make one thing straight. Nobody's tweeted about what really happened at that last Saturday night special. And that is the Pope, the Angelo De Niro, was not calling it down the middle. He got involved. He put his hands on me before the match. He put his hands on me after the match. That's not been reported. You didn't see that on PWInsider.com. No, you didn't. Instead, we saw blatant bias officiating from a guy who's in the old buddy network with Michael Hayes. These guys go way back, Elijah Burke and Michael Hayes. They've been buddies for years, so it's no surprise that Frank Miller, being in the whole crony circle himself, would call a blatantly biased referee to come in and screw Muhammad Ali Baez over. That's fine. It's no surprise. The swimmer's build has been held down for a long time. It's okay. You live to fight another day.
Ali, I was at that match. I reported on that match. You know, you shook Elijah's hand, but then you got in his face. You tried to intimidate him. Now, he did pull your hair when you had Hayes in the camel clutch for a long time. It looked like curtains, but Hayes' hand touched the ropes. You wouldn't let go. He could have disqualified you there. He pulled your hair to keep the match continuing. Other than that, he had no impact on the finish, and then after the match, you pushed him, and he gave you an uppercut and knocked you down. He didn't cause you to lose that match, in my view. That's just my
view. You just got to rain on my parade every month on these podcasts, don't you? You got to try to poke holes in the official version of the story. It's undisputed.
Uh-huh.
It's undisputed. Now, you can... Also, I think your version of events is very skewed by nature of your grossly misrepresented attendance count at all of our events. So your credibility is called into question to begin with anyway.
Oh. I have to attend every single event to get an accurate representation? Nobody can do that, Ali. Not even me. Not even me.
I do.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Did we lose Ali?
Looks like we did.
See?
I'll try to get...
Well, the meantime, let's go ahead.
Who's on the line? I'm on the line.
Yes, I'm just going to bring you on. I know you've just been waiting in the shadows to listen to this madness, and I hope you're not missing basketball for this month. Our special guest this month far be it from me. I saved the best for last, or I saved something for last here. Veteran of internet wrestling radio, the Delaware Destroyer, the biggest audio whore that I know. A man that when he introduced Maria Canales on Ringside Rap, the first thing he asked her about was friends with benefits. I bring you Michael P. Sempervivi. How are you doing, Mike? Welcome to the show, by the way.
Not too bad, and you know that P stands for quality. Although,
I know.
The way Muhammad is talking to you, I'm starting to second guess my appearance on this program. How dare you question a man with a swimmer's build and hair like that? Not only that, introducing new trunks. I'm a little offended by the way you're questioning him.
Yeah.
Are you offended? I mean, he said some questionable things, and so I'm just being a broadcast journalist. I need to get to the bottom of the story, you know?
We have Mr. Vaez back on the line. You should be coming
back
on shortly.
Okay, Mr. Vaez, are you back?
I apologize, Trent. I had to hang up, and I had to do a couple deep breathing exercises to regain my composure before I could call back and before I could deal with this blatant misrepresentation of the facts.
Mr. Vaez, do you do this weekly? Do you have to put up with this type of torture weekly? I mean, these people should be happy that you're spending your Sunday, you know, welcoming, you know, charity. Do you get to write this charity off on your taxes at the end of the year dealing with these two?
I should. That's a pretty good idea. And yes, I do have to deal with this kind of stuff all the time. It just goes with being Muhammad Ali Vaez, and I'm used to it. I'm used to the naysayers. I'm used to the negative Nancys out there, the people that want to poke holes in my arguments, the people that want to, you know, dispute facts. It's just second nature to me at this point, and it rides right off my shoulders. It's all about those deep breathing exercises, guys. You got to keep yourself calm.
Well, Ali, at the risk of you hanging up again, first of all, Mike, this show is monthly, not weekly, but yes, everywhere Ali goes, I'm sure he takes his fair share of abuse. But if we're going to deal with facts here, Vaez, I realized the other day that you have something in common with Ezekiel Jackson. Do you know what that is?
Traps, got to be.
Besides my incredibly muscular physique, no, I'm not exactly sure. What would I have in common with Mr. Jackson?
Well, I don't need to attend all the events to know this. This is a fact, Vaez. You are winless on television thus far in 2012.
Really?
Well, yes. You have not won one on television. Winless.
Man. But I'm on television every week. What does that tell you, Trent?
Go ahead.
Also, Trent, let me also point out the fact that while you like to point out that I'm quote-unquote winless on television, I do recall selling out the Davis Arena, setting an all-time attendance record, and beating Michael Hayes in front of his family, his friends, God, and his country. So that was a pretty big win. I believe that was this year, wasn't it?
That was this year. I was going to say the year got off to a fantastic start for you, but what happened since? You, not only that, you allowed Hayes to come back. You let Hayes get to you. You let the new talent arbitrator, Joseph Bynum, reinstate Hayes, and you just stood there and let it happen. I could not believe that. I could
first
not
off,
believe that
off,
you let that happen.
You're going down a dangerous road. You do not question the talent arbitrator. The talent arbitrator...
Yes,
the talent art, well, you have that luxury to do that. However, if you are, quote-unquote, talent and subject to the arbitrator, you do not question the talent arbitrator.
Well, Trent, I think he has a good point there. When you consider the kind of turbocharged divorce that this woman was able to pull off from Christian Miscagni, you have to consider that.
I mean, we're not dealing with amateurs here, Trent. You can either be on the right side of the law or you can be on the wrong side of the law. And I, for one, I pay taxes. You know what I mean? I'm a citizen just like everybody else, and I choose to walk on the right path of the law. Now you wanna point fingers and say, well, you lost this match and you haven't won that match and you know, da 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 da. That's fine, Trent. But I'm 6 months ahead of you. I'm looking into the future. I've got plans. Don't worry about Muhammad Ali Vaez. I'm going to be okay.
Well, I'm actually wondering if you're, like, overtraining, that part of this enhanced swimmer's build is part of the reason that you're not winning as many matches, like you're fatigued.
Well, here's the thing. My focus right now is on the April 28th Derby City Championship Physique and Bodybuilding Show, where I will be competing in my first ever contest. So, yes, that is the reason why you've seen such an improvement in the swimmer's build. That is the reason why maybe somebody could say that I've been distracted. However, I'm a man of many talents. My intellect and my mental capacity allows me to work on one thing at the moment, and I personally don't think it really is having that big of an effect. Plus, I got my good buddies, Rob Terry and Jesse Godders and Rudy Switchblade, who are also able to handle business, because that's the advantage of being in the family. We have each other's backs. Also, something that you didn't want to report on, Trent, because clearly you are biased against me, is that last night I defeated Michael Hayes in Clarksville, Indiana. Myself and Rudy Switchblade defeated Michael Hayes and Paradise. Thereby, I call that a win. I call that revenge. Maybe it wasn't broadcast on television. That's okay. Everybody knows at the end of the day, I'm the man, Trent. You know it too.
Well, congratulations. That's your first win over Hayes since January. Of course, that's only the second match back. I want to say this too, and hold on, Mike. I got a lot to say to you too, Mike. I'm not ignoring you. But Ali is just annoying me here because, listen, I think that some blame goes to Hayes here too, Ali. I'm not holding Hayes blameless. Frankly, I think he should have been a man of his word and not really come back so quick.
Yeah, I think so too. Michael Hayes is an opportunist.
You know,
he's an egomaniac, you know, and I'm glad you're finally starting to see what I've known for 10 months now.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, you know, if he's a big war hero he says he is, which obviously he is, though, but he did lose to you. It was nefarious tactics, but it's a cage match you won. That should have been the end of the story for a long, long time, if not forever. And you know, his first chance to come back, he comes back. Yeah, you know, I think that's a little questionable on his part. I will say that. So, you know,
well,
you got that going for him. But
clearly he has no integrity, Trent.
Speaking of no integrity, Mr. Sempervivi, we're going to come to you. Let me ask you, first of all, Mike, did you used to watch OVW, you know, back in the Randy Orton, John Cena days and stuff like that? Did you watch it back then?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I was able to keep up with it, you know, pretty well, you know, going throughout when Paul E. went there and obviously after Cornette left. And then, you know, kind of got into that, I think it was Greg Gagne and Mike Graham. I'm not sure who else was there where. You know, and it's nothing against anybody. It's just it kind of went from that Batista and Orton and Rico and the Damager and all that, and then started becoming Ricky Ortiz. And you know, it kind of lost a little bit of its luster. And with the amount of stuff that I got to watch every week, obviously the MMA stuff has, you know, been overtaking. And Japan is, you know, it's hard to try to keep up with a little bit of everything. So, unfortunately, it kind of drifted back out. And a couple months ago when you said, you know, asked me to come on the show, I was kind of excited about it just because I got a chance. It gave me a reason to go back into watching the show again. And there's been a lot of love for ROH as far as, you know, from back in the day, your old syndicated type of, you know, UHF wrestling show being on. And ROH was one of the closest things that, you know, is one of the closest things to that now. And, you know, being 36 years old as a kid who grew up in the 80s and now having kids, I kind of like that, and I like, you know, having the ability to see it, and OVW, you know, putting that back into my diet of wrestling viewing has actually been, a, you know, a great accessory for that. And so much is not going well throughout a lot of the aspects of professional wrestling right now. At least OVW is, you know, it's a nice little throwback. I know exactly what I'm going to get out of it. I'm going to have stuff that makes sense and storylines that tie together and move on, and, you know, it's kind of a nice thing to see when the world of canvas mats right now, it tends to be a little shaky.
Yeah, and Ali and Larry, and Mike probably doesn't know this, but Mike, OVW's motto with the wrestlers and their staff is basically to be over-effing prepared. That's their motto. And Larry and Ali, Mike here actually watched, he didn't watch one episode, he actually watched 5 episodes to prepare for this show. The man is
6, actually. Don't undercut me. It was 6.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. 6. You're right. I'm from Wisconsin. My math is shitty, you know. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. He watched 6 episodes, so big
awesome.
Props to Sempervivi. He watched episode 650 through most recent one, 655, and I don't know, Mike, how do you want to handle it? You just want to give your overview of certain things that stuck out to you, or do you want to just briefly talk about each episode? I wrote just a few brief notes on each one. But however you want to handle it, fine with me. So.
Well, it's up to you. It doesn't matter to me. It was, it was kind of nice. I didn't realize that Mikey Nichols and Shane Hayes, who I've seen in Noah and who have been around for a while, it was nice to see them. And I guess you can just kind of go all the way across the board. It was nice to hear Mohammed at the beginning talk about the fact that there's going to be the free bird rule now when it comes to the family defending the tag team titles. I find that very fitting, considering that Michael Hayes, a guy named Michael Hayes, could be such a thorn in everyone's side. And again, I love professional wrestling. I love sports entertainment. I love both of those things. Again, I grew up in the 80s, so when the wrestling's great, it's great. When the entertainment's great, it's great. And I hate to admit this, Mohammed, but when Michael was the cameraman, I got to admit it, I did giggle a little bit, but then I quickly wiped that smile off my face and realized how bad you've been put upon in all of this.
Yeah, Michael Hayes is clever. He's clever like a fox.
One thing I've really liked a lot, too, is just, the balance of, obviously now with the divorce taking place and JoJo becoming Josette, the balance between she and Trailer Park Trash, as far as, at least there's some levity to the proceedings. Obviously, when Trailer Park Trash makes a stupid decision, it can be balanced out by JoJo, of course. But, it is a nice thing to see where there's, some brains at work actually on a professional wrestling show, and, we get to have a little bit of balance.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Mike. I'm not a huge fan of the dueling GMs, I guess you want to say, talent arbitrator versus the director of wrestling operations. I don't know. I just think that when you got one good and one bad, I guess, for lack of a better term of it, and one can make the match and one can make the stips, that there's just too many matches that get too muddled up and ruined by too many stips. And then you got the heelish one out there making stips, during mid-match. I just feel like it's kind of ruined, some of their matches and made things kind of pretty muddled up in general. I'll be glad when the dueling GM thing ends. I mean, did you find that watching the show, Mike, or did you find that just more entertaining?
Again, watching just the last six, and the evolution leading into it, I'm not, completely familiar with. But, every program, almost no matter what it is, has got a ham-fisted boss or has got an authority figure in the mix. And wrestling, obviously, has been incredibly guilty of it over, a long period of time now. So at least it gives some balance to that where, you've seen this with everybody and you get to see wacky matches take place and, Triple H strips Jericho and has Hebner overcome the decision sort of stuff. At least this way, it gives the fans who are there, who obviously have no sense and cheer against the family, it gives them something to be invested in where it's not just so incredibly one-sided. Now, you can water down too many matches with stuff like that, but hopefully it doesn't go that way.
How about you, Larry? How do you feel about the dueling arbitrator versus the director of operations? Wearing thin on it, or are you entertained by it, or what?
It feels like it's getting a little too much of a formula, starting every show with a talk segment with the talent arbitrator out there. So that's the part I don't like.
Yeah. And before I go any farther, I just want to say, some of the backstage wranglings before this show, the stuff I had to go through today, just to get Mr. Vaez to appear on the show, I just want to mention that Mr. Vaez cannot mention Christian Mascagni, former talent arbitrator, due to a gag order from the divorce proceedings with Josette Bynum. So Mr. Vaez cannot discuss anything Mascagni. But I will ask you this, Ali. I mean, do you as wrestlers feel like the two powers that be colliding on every show is kind of muddling up matches, or is it something you feel kind of plays your guy at advantage?
Well, I think it's, I'll just be completely honest, and I'm going to give you my real opinion.
Yes.
Frank Miller is the devil, and he is causing so many issues right now that I don't know if you recall this or not, but I believe on Wednesday at the next set of television tapings, Frank Miller is going to have to put up or shut up, and I think he's going to be shutting up
because he's going to have to go against Rob Terry. And I don't know if you guys really have ever seen Rob Terry in person. I mean, I'm sure you've seen him on our television product. But just to give you
a kind of a perspective on Rob Terry and what he brings to the table, I kind of feel like I'm in pretty good shape. You know, I'm around 185 pounds, like 6% body fat. Rob Terry has over 100 pounds of muscle on his body compared to me. And he's got a lower body fat percentage than me. Rob Terry is legitimately 290 pounds and under 10% body fat. Frank Miller is 260 pounds and 80% body fat. So I think the writing is on the wall. I don't think Frank Miller is going to be a problem for the family or for the good paying customers of Ohio Valley Wrestling for much longer.
I got two questions. How did this match get set up? Because it wasn't set up on TV. And number two, my understanding was when Mr. Miller took the job as director of wrestling operations, the condition was he could no longer wrestle.
I'm pretty certain that the match was made last week on television in regards to retribution for Frank Miller's out-of-control ego and constant interference in the family's business. Maybe I'm mistaken, but I'm pretty sure I was standing in the ring when that match was made. I believe that's the announced main event for this Wednesday's television taping. Now, I could be wrong, which happens once every 10 years, and this might be that one time, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. And if it's not official, it should be, because Frank Miller is, quite frankly, he's overstayed his welcome. You know what I mean?
Mike or Larry, did you get that from this most recent episode? Because I certainly didn't.
I did not. I just watched it and I didn't.
You know what? Frank Miller must have gone in there and edited this out to get himself out of this match. That must have been what happened. He is a talent arbitrator. He does have the power to go in and change the facts, so to speak, and I guess that's what he did.
I can believe that's possible because I don't remember hearing anything about it, although that lends credence to my ideas that there's some strange editing going on, which is why, Trent, you have not seen Muhammad win a match on TV yet this year.
Yes. That's probably the case.
Well, if that does happen, Ali, how can he wrestle and be the director of operations? Like I said, the condition was that he couldn't do both.
Trent, I don't make the rules, man. I just deal with what I'm presented with every week.
Okay,
and what I'm presented with every week is this guy making my life difficult. So I hope he gets
Well, let me ask you this about the talent arbitrators, Ali. I know you can't discuss with Scavy. We know that. But did you know that Muscagney was married to Lady JoJo? Was the family aware of that ahead of time, or was that a complete shock to you all?
No, I had no idea. Now, look, I don't try to get into the guy's personal lives. You know, I try to make wrestling, you know, my job instead of what I am and who I am. So, no, I did not have any kind of idea. I thought Josette Bynum was a lesbian, quite frankly. I had no idea. So, you know, to find this out, I mean, I believe there was, now maybe this was edited out too, but I believe there was a backstage segment where we were handed the divorce decrees, and it was a complete shock to all members of the family. We had no idea that they were married. No idea. So it was quite the shock. I mean, stranger things have happened, you know? I mean, I don't know. I'm flabbergasted still. But I'm smart enough to know that I need to be on the winning team, and Miss Bynum has her quote-unquote shit together. So I don't cross that lady for anything. So I'm just going to stick with the official line. I had no idea they were married.
Well, now, Kenny Bolin, on I guess the first episode she appeared as a talent arbitrator, Kenny Bolin was grilled by Corsi and Dean Hill, and Bolin did admit on TV that he did know about it ahead of time. So Kenny Bolin knew. I don't know who else.
Well, Kenny Bolin.
Because
listen, Trent, Kenny Bolin is, in his own regards, a broadcast journalist. He has a lot of connections, and Kenny Bolin pretty much, he's been at OVW for 15 years. If there's something going on, he knows about it. Okay? Kenny Bolin keeps his enemies close, and his friends even... Wait, that doesn't make any sense. Kenny Bolin keeps his friends close and his enemies closer. So it doesn't surprise me at all to know that Kenny Bolin would have known this information. I mean, for God's sakes, this guy was getting gas at $2 a gallon from the insurgency 5 years ago. So he, you know, believe me, he knows what's going on. And if it's to his advantage to work that situation, then Kenny Bolin is going to work that situation. It doesn't surprise me at all that he knew about this.
Hey, Mike, let me ask you on it. Larry?
I was going to say he knew about that, but he doesn't know what NOAA is.
Well, Kenny Bolin's been a little shut up recently.
Yeah, God, get off the man's back. He had to sit there and watch his son be, you know, have his be basically follically raped is really what happened there. And had to sit there and watch that. So he's a little shook up right now. He doesn't have the ability to be, you know, okay, give the guy a break, for God's sake, Larry.
If we could just touch on that head shaving for 1 second. I have to say, that was one of the best TV head shavings I have ever seen. I mean, he was hideous when that was over, the way they shaved him. It was tremendous.
Hideous is
a
nice way to say it.
Yeah, but here's, of course, I got to be a negative Nelly, Larry, as you know. You know, that head shaving took place on the go-home show for the Saturday night special, and that it was like almost a half hour long, that whole match and the head shaving, and that had zero to do with the Saturday night special that night, absolutely zero. I mean, so I thought the timing of it was kind of strange. What do you say to that, Larry?
I mean, I see your point on that. I read what you wrote about that, and I see your point to do it right before the big show.
Yeah, it was just. But I got to admit, I did not expect him to get his head shaved. That completely shocked me that happened. And yeah, man, he looked like Ichabod Crane or something with that coming off. You know, but I don't know. Los Locos and Bowling Services 2.0 have been in a feud and. As far as I can tell, it's still continuing. I don't know where it's going. Mike, I did want to ask, going back to episode 650 real quick, you got to see him just one time. He's gone, signed by the WWE. I'm talking about Marcus Anthony, who faced and lost a Loser Leave OVW match to the new champion, El Smooth, Johnny Spain. Did you get any read on Marcus Anthony in that one match, Mike?
You know, not a whole lot of it. See, I thought you would actually, if you were going to say that, bring up Mike Mondo. He and Shiloh Jones at the ROH, Bob Evans, and there were more than a few people that said they tore the house down to, you know, incredible degrees. You know, so that was actually really good to hear. Because I always liked Mike Mondo. Everybody always liked Mike Mondo. And to see him, you know, being able to take advantage of the ROH situation is good, not only for him, it's good for ROH, and it's good for OVW, too. And it just wasn't enough time, unfortunately, you know, for me to really get a whole lot out of that. Obviously, kind of knowing where they were going, you know, I knew he was going to lose and be out, but I did not get enough of a read on him whatsoever.
Okay, that's cool. I'm just curious to see the services in FCW, and you're right about Mondo. Mondo, and I'm glad he's doing good in Ring of Honor, and I love that the last tapings that he fought Matt Taven, you know, relatively unknown guy, and Mondo and Taven tore the house down. I mean, you would think that, you know, Richards and Edwards would tore the house down. But Mondo and Matt Taven tore the house down. That tells you something about those guys. And, yeah, Mondo, I hope he makes some big waves in Ring of Honor. And I hope we can see Mondo more in OVW. I know he's done a couple of dark matches and kind of been around, but not in a feature role, which I understand. But, yeah, Mondo is, you know, anybody that just thinks about Mike Mondo from his days in the Spirit Squad is doing themselves quite a disservice, because this guy has – really become one of the best wrestlers around, and I really mean that. That guy's great. So,
well, it's nice seeing that, and Nick Dinsmore, you know, talking about the school on the show, too. It's, you know, it's still that torch and that line that was back to the quote-unquote old OVW, and it's, you know, again, somebody who hadn't seen it in a while, it was a nice thing to see that line continue to be drawn, and, you know, I know he's one of Buddy Wayne's guys, because Brian Alvarez has talked about him before,
yeah.
But I know Muhammad doesn't want to hear this, but I was greatly entertained by the OMG team for the short period of time that I got to see them. And again, Shiloh Jones actually stood out to me a little bit, too. Now, I know he kind of stood out in the way that you want to beat him up sometimes, but he did stand out.
And I don't know if you know this, Mike. I know you didn't watch this, but just to tell you about Shiloh Jones, Mike, last year, Shiloh Jones went on this incredible losing streak, lost to everybody. As a matter of fact, when I say everybody, he finally quit and left after losing to ring announcer Brittany Devere, okay? That's how bad it got for poor Shiloh. He disappeared for a while. Mike, he came back. He found the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Got on a winning streak. Became technically canceled with Johnny Spade, and now he's doing some shots of Ring of Honor. So what a turnaround for Shiloh Jones. And, man, that guy, I think Ring of Honor should really use him more because, man, that guy can – he's just one of these guys that I don't want to say he's necessarily a jobber or there to lose, but just the way – guys don't sell like that anymore. He just the way he sells, he just makes guys look like $1 million. That to me is a strong suit. Just great at it.
And I don't want to make a crack against Ring of Honor or anything like that. But and doing the show with Les Thatcher on Wednesdays, we talk about a lot. I mean, you know, Davey Richards. I like the Japanese style. There's lots of guys I like, but the zillion and one kicks, matches that go on for way too long, people who don't know really how to read and play to the crowd. You know, there's a lot of those guys in OVW right now that may not have the names or the skills or you know, this, that, or the other compared to some of the guys in Ring of Honor. But with that said, you know, it's going to be the OVW guys who kind of make a more of an impact, I think, as time goes on because, you know, it is a little bit about entertaining, too, and again, selling and things like that, where you're not seeing 7,500 kicks to the chest. You're not seeing, you know, any goofiness or anything like that, and that's one thing I did like about the shows, too. And again, it's not a crack against Ring of Honor or anybody's style, per se, or anything like that. It's just, you know, I prefer good professional wrestling, but entertaining professional wrestling, too, that kind of, you know, again, it's a two-way street. It's not just two guys in the ring and, you know, everything be damned, we're going to have the match we want to have. You know, the show was paced well, and everything is, you know, at least from what I've seen, was really entertaining.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, too, because I know you're a lifelong wrestling fan. And, of course, you coming, you know, you being the expert on Japanese wrestling, you know, you watch a lot of fairly serious wrestling. And, you know, Ring of Honor, when it got to Sinclair, it was really serious at first. Now, lately, I can definitely see that Cornette's trying to take it back more old school, market old school, you know, approach now. But OVW is a much different show than Ring of Honor. And, like, OVW is fairly – it can be serious, but it tends to have a fairly zany, fast-paced edge to it. And, I mean, is that the kind of – do you prefer, like, an OVW style, I guess, or do you prefer more of a serious style or kind of a mixture of both? I'm trying to get
your head that,
Mike.
Oh, I mean, I love that. That's why the OVW show was so good. There's a lot of people who got sick of it. Like, oh, Christ, you're talking about Cornette, you know, and they hate the fact that Meltzer, at least on the Observer site, you know, that there was a large core of people that Danny Davis and Cornette and blah, 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 too old school, all that sort of nonsense. But it's like those shows were great. I mean, you got – you know, good personalities, good wrestling matches, guys who look certain ways, put in positions to be, you know, achieving what they should and playing to their strengths. And, you know, you got a good wrestling match, but you also got the Heartbreakers jumping on the table and Dean Hill and Jim Cornette's faces looking up. You had, you know, serious ass kickers in there, but you also had, you know, Kenny Bolin, you know, holding the briefcase that says Rolling with Bolin. I love that balance. And, again, I like that more. I love the sports, you know, I love great wrestling matches and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, for the hour TV, I think trying to hook people in, I think OVW, if it was on steroids a little bit more, would be a better representation for Sinclair than kind of what Ring of Honor is. And I know Cornette's got to walk a weird line. And, again, it's an issue for a different day, but it's ROH has kind of had an identity crisis sort of thing with trying to balance out all of these different matches and guys working different ways and making it smooth throughout the whole show. I think they did a better job with that in the last iPay-per-view, but, you know, Final Battle I thought was really kind of, you know, it jumbled around. And, again, from what I've seen off the OPW TV show, it was a good hour of pro wrestling.
You know, I think you're making a great point in the sense of just from a pure entertainment standpoint, I find OVW, you know, more entertaining than most any other wrestling I see.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, you can say it gets too zany at times, but it's always pretty much entertaining, you know?
It always holds my attention. I don't get bored.
Yeah. Well, Larry, let me ask you this. What is your take on the rise of smooth Johnny Spade from tag team champion, lost the tag team belts when he wasn't even there, got sent to Lexington by Josette Bynum, came back, he won an eight-man gauntlet match to earn a title shot, and at the Saturday Night Special, defeated our guest from last month, Rudy Switchblade, Johnny Spade, on Top of the World, the OVW heavyweight champion. What's your take on that, Larry?
And, you know, and I believe I said last month that he didn't stand a snowball's chance in hell, but I'm really enjoying this, him as champion, and the way it's come about. And, yeah, I like the story of the guy, you know, being there 14 years and now winning the title. I think he's really had something special in this run, and I'm glad that it's been, you know, richly rewarded in this way.
And over the weekend, I don't know if you guys know this, but TNA had a run through Kentucky Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Covington, Kentucky, Corbin, Kentucky, and last night in Pikeville, Kentucky. And on all three of those shows, I believe they were all non-title matches for OVW title, but on all three of those shows was Johnny Spade versus Jesse Godders. Godders won the first one, and Spade won the last two. But they're getting a look from TNA, no doubt. So, you know, they were in Kentucky, and they used those guys, so interesting. I don't know what follow will come from that, but they got used.
How can you not use a guy named Mr. Pectacular?
Right.
I was going to ask you, thank you, Mike, nice segue. I do want to talk real quick, though, about Spade and Jones while I'm on it. It seems like the team of OMG, Mike, has kind of been forced to break up due to circumstances, you know, due to Josette Bynum sending people on trips and stuff, and just due to Johnny Spade winning the title. Are you seeing, like I'm seeing, that perhaps Shiloh may come back sort of vengeful and resent Johnny Spade before this is over? That's kind of what I'm feeling, but I am just speculating.
I don't know. You know, I've watched a lot of pro wrestling in my time, so, you know, you always got to wonder about, you know, it's not Jason Wayne's fault that, you know, I know Rob Terry accidentally picked up that chair and he must have tripped and accidentally, you know, but, you know, it was a semi-cool thing for Johnny, for Wayne to do and everything. But, you know, at the end of the day, he lost the tag title. So, I don't know, I've watched a lot of wrestling in my life. That always sticks in the back of my mind that it could play a part down the line there. But, no, obviously, with the way things are going, you know, the championships need to be defended. And, you know, one thing watching throughout the episodes, too, you know, watching the commercials leading into the house shows, you know, I was actually, like, looking forward to seeing the TV title match, you know, taking place. So I'm not sure, you know, what the results of that were. I think it was, was it Saturday night? I'm not sure if it was on Saturday night or not.
Let's go ahead and ask Ali. You were there. Who won last night between Chris Silvio and Shiloh Jones? No time limit for the TV title.
Well, after 38 hard-fought minutes, Chris Silvio came out ahead and again retained his television title. That kid's got something, let me tell you. Both of them do. Both Shiloh Jones and Chris Silvio took the opportunity that they were giving at Colgate Gym. They had one hell of a battle. It was a quote-unquote locker room sellout. But at the end of the day, Chris Silvio's hand was once again raised.
38 minutes.
No bullshit. I'll be buying that tape because I was actually looking forward to seeing it. And, you know, you get 38 minutes, too, and then Mom's saying it was that good. I'm really actually looking forward to seeing it now. So, you know, again, not that you need to give you, you know, or give, you know, Ohio Valley a verification or affirmation or anything like that. But, you know, again, that was a match with their personalities and how they've been portrayed. You know, and then the whole wacky clan that's, you know, follows Silvio around. I mean, it just, that was a match that I actually wanted to see, and I was hoping it was like, okay, now it's this one for TV, and then it was leading into the house show. It's like, you know what? You would have got my money that night.
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting about that is Shiloh Jones and Silvio have never fought each other on television. That was strictly a house show feud. And for them to do the house show, they did the commercials and stuff, but they have never faced each other on TV, which they may, but haven't yet. But just speaking of Silvio real quick, what a title run this guy has had. He's defeated Mike Mondo. He's defeated Brandon Espinosa. He's defeated Shiloh Jones. He's defeated Muhammad Ali Baez. This man has gone through much of the roster and retained a TV title. I mean, what a fighting champion this guy is. Now, he's just, yeah, he'll cheat, don't get me wrong, but the fact is he's hanging on to that belt. He's he's the, by far the most active champion the company has right now by leaps and bounds.
Hey, he's holding the TV title. He's going to be on TV every week. And, you know, it hasn't gotten old. It doesn't look like there's so many options, you know, seemingly with that, too. I don't think it's going to get old. He's an entertaining guy. And, you know, again, it kind of goes back to they haven't wrestled on TV. Man, smart pro wrestling. Because, again, you would have gotten my money out to go to the house show. And, again, with that whole plan and everything that's been going on, I'm not sure what the reaction is like off of TV, but, you know, again, he stands out to me, and I hope he actually holds on to the TV title for more than a little while.
His grip looks pretty tight on it, I'll say that. Now, let me ask you this, because Jason Wayne was mentioned. Jason Wayne, another former guest on this show. You were there. The family putting out Jason Wayne in his career. What was the point of that exactly?
I'm sorry, Trent. Ask that question one more time, please.
Why did the family put Jason Wayne out of commission?
Because Jason Wayne's a punk, and he deserved it. Are you kidding? Jason Wayne is a part of that crony circle with Danny Davis and Frank Miller and all these goofs, Michael Hayes. Jason Wayne crossed the wrong guy. He wants to walk around with his lat spread for the last year thinking he's all that. And guess what? Just when you think you're the biggest, baddest, toughest guy, there's always somebody bigger and badder than you. And the family introduced Jason Wayne to that individual. That individual is named Rob Terry. That's what happens. It's survival of the fittest, just like the jungle. And guess what? Jason Wayne wasn't fit enough.
Wow. It's a cold business sometimes. That's all I got to say. Man, the guy substituting in a tag title match and ends up going out. I don't even know what the injury is, but my gut is he's going to be out for quite a while, so, geez, tough business.
I guess he should have sat his ass down in the back and not volunteer to step up to the plate. That should be a lesson to everybody else in the locker room, too, by the way.
Well, let me ask you this, Ali, concerning your career thus far in 2012, because I feel the same about you as I feel about the former champion, Bree Switchblade. I'm not sure that being in a heel faction actually helps your career. I think, if anything, it may hinder you guys, because I don't think you guys are being featured as much as you should or could be because you're in a heel faction.
Is that a question or a statement?
It's both. How do you feel about that?
You know, like I said, I'm never going to cross the talent arbitrator because Josette Bynum has her stuff together. She knows what's going on. She knows the score. I have my faith in her. She's not going to lead me astray. Now, with that said, I would also like to point out that I believe there may be a caller in the queue that you would be extremely interested in talking to, Trent.
Okay. Larry, is there a caller in the queue?
There is a caller in the queue, and I'd be glad to bring this person on. Let's find out.
Okay.
Area code 631. You're on OBW Overview.
Well, hello, Overview. Can you guess just who the hell this is?
Is this Mr. Spectacular Jesse Goddard?
Jeez, you're so off. Guys, come on, man. They know better than this by now. It's Mike freaking Mondo, damn it. Mondo!
All right!
Borrow it yourself. You know, the guy that, you've been after for a while. I apologize. But, you know, I figured this kind of perfect opportunity to kind of give a call and give my thoughts if you're even interested in what I have to say, which I don't blame you if you're not. But, just want to say, how you doing, guys? What's going on? Figured I'd call in and say,
how you doing, Mondo? Man, thanks for calling. Folks, this is a very rare podcast appearance by Mike Mondo. Mondo's not a big podcaster, so, boy, what do we owe the honor, Mondo?
Well, you know, you're right. I'm not a big podcaster, and I can explain why in just a nutshell real quick. Is that, you know, I've done a lot of them. There weren't so much podcasts, more radio interviews when I first got let go back in 2008. And really, it was just the same thing over and over. You know, you plug this at the end, you plug that. But, you know, it was just like nothing ever really came of anything. So, like, this is kind of... got bored and just kind of wasted my time, you know, but, I like to do them every now and then if it's something that's either going to, promotional thing at the end, or if it's going to benefit the company, you know, or, myself or anything like that, but, you know, Trent, I noticed you in the crowd every single Wednesday, and I noticed you went to the ROH show every Wednesday, you and Anne-Marie, which, by the way, Anne-Marie, I love her, even though we never probably met, I don't think I've met her at once, but she is a sweetheart of a woman, and you're lucky to have a good girl like that, so treat her good. She's very proud of all of her accomplishments. She was with Mr. Baez, I know, at Urban Active, and that's what dedication's all about, and I got nothing but props to her, and that's really cool. So good for her on that, and I hope she keeps the ball rolling. But anyway, what I was going to say is, you know, I appreciate you supporting us, you know, OVW, Ring of Honor, and it's great to see that this, you know, wrestling fan, because I'm a fan myself, man. I sit at my computer, and I just Google or freaking YouTube anything, and I just enjoy watching wrestling. I mean, that's who I am, what I do, and, you know, if I could, that's my way of entertaining myself, that's what I do. So, I just wanted to say my big thank you to you guys for your support, for all of you.
Well, thank you. You are no doubt, no ass kissing. In my mind, you have entered to the point and proved to the point of being one of the best wrestlers in the world, one of the smoothest guys out there, and just so much fun to watch, and I'm so glad that you're getting a chance with Ring of Honor to show what you can really do. And I understand, I haven't seen it, but the match you had with Matt Taven at the last taping blew the roof off the place. So I'm glad you're going to hold in there and doing some good things. Congratulations to you. So.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate that. And, you know, this business is really, I love to say, you know, when I first got into it, you know, I mean, I had a whole different perspective as far as how I visualize the industry now, you know. When I was 18 years old, you know, and now I'm going to be 29 to 26 this month. So I've been doing this almost 11 years now, and you can be the greatest wrestler in the world, but in the end, you know, it's right place, right time, and something that Dr. Tom Pritchard always instilled in my brain, just timing, because I've been times I'm ready to pull my hair out, you know what I mean, and you can't tell the future, you know what I mean? I wish I could tell the future. If there was one superpower I wish I could possess, it was to tell the future. So at least I know how to prepare myself for what I can, you know, prepare for the future and whatnot. But you don't, you know. It's all about right place, right time. And, you know, I've been blessed and lucky, to be honest with you, you know. I wish I could say, man, it was that one match of tearing the house down, and that's why I got the job, you know. But all you can do is leave your heart out in the ring, work your damnest, your hardest, every single match, whether there's 5 people out there in the crowd, whether there's 500 people out there in the crowd, you know, and leave your heart out in the ring and be the best that you can absolutely be. So when the opportunity does present you and the door opens for you, you can welcome it with open arms, because not only will you knock a home run and hit it out of the park, but you will be over-prepared, as Rick Rogers always says, and I think you guys mentioned that as a quote, as what OVW lives by, but it's true. And that's what happened. It happened with WWE. It lucked out that, you know, Tommy Dreamer had a couple favors, you know, so me, Joey Matthews, Skyfire, Mac Johnson, Danny Inferno, we were lucky as favors to get hired. So, boom, I got myself, and that's the hardest part, guys, to get yourself foot in the door. Once your foot is in the door, then you can let your talent and the magic speak for itself as far as you go and creativity. And, you know, it just depends how hungry you are and what you're willing to do. And the same thing with Ring of Honor. You know, I can't say it was one specific match that, you know, got me a job at Ring of Honor. It was just, again, right place, right time. And I'm very thankful for Jim Cornette. I put this over in every one of my interviews, Jim is one of those guys I can count on a handful of people on one hand who really genuinely, really looked out for my career and looked out for me. And, you know, he showed me pieces of paper when he was the matchmaker before I was even hired with WWE, saying this guy would be great for, the certain thing that they were doing with Kurt Angle and Luther Reigns at the time, and this angle, you know, and pretty much put me over, and I'm not even hired yet, you know. And then he contributed to help get me a job. You know, always say just nice and good things about me, about, you know, as people, about not only my great wrestler, but a great trainer. And that's really two qualities that's hard to find in an individual alone, you know, and that's how he kind of sells me. And then, of course, he put me on the paper with Ring of Honor recently, not to mention the various indie bookings prior. So it's like, you know, Jim is, I mean, I just, there's a certain sense of loyalty there, man. And it's just like, I really feel, I really feel loyalty to him, because if it wasn't for him, you know, a lot of things that have happened in my life as far as my professional career would have maybe never happened, you know? So,
yeah.
So thank you, Jim, well, thank you, Jim Cornette, for that, you know?
Well, Mondo, let me ask you real quick. Just out of curiosity, it came out like several months ago that you were signed by Ring of Honor, which I put that on a report, which I got credit for that, but I saw that somewhere else, and it turned out you weren't. Even though they used you on some shows, and then more recently you were officially signed. Can you tell me what happened there, or do you even know?
You know, man, and that's a really funny question, because that's a really funny question, because you know what happened? Well, this is how I think. This is my guess, okay? When I broke everything down, not that I was obsessing over it, but when I broke everything down, and I was like, man, why the heck is this happening? You know, what the hell? Do I know something that people don't? You know what I mean? Or do I not know something that people do?
Yeah.
And somebody said, it was a Ring of Honor website, and they said, Mike Mondo has confirmed for this week's television tapings at the Louisville, at the Davis Arena. So I'm only assuming one of the sheets picked that up as that I was hired. And once that got picked up that I was hired, it spread like freaking the chicken pox. You know what I mean? It was just boom, this guy, damn, that guy, boom, that one. You know what I mean? So it was probably just words taken out of context. And all of a sudden I get to the arena, the Davis Arena, for the TV tapings, right? And I got all the boys, man, literally coming up to me and saying, congratulations, boom, congratulations, that, you know, this, boom, here, it's great to have you here, yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, thank you, man, thank you. I mean, I feel like a jackass, and I'm like, well, I hope I hear something soon. And, you know, I feel like everyone knows but me, you know what I mean? Like, is this a rib or something, you know? Like, I'm just kind of waiting for, to say, you know, we get from the office or somebody that says, hey, man, we're gonna do this with you, you know? But nothing that night. So, again, I guess it was just all words taken out of context, and then just like, you know, typical internet rumors. I mean, you know how they are on the wrestling sheets. You know, half the stuff is not true anyway, you know, but, or blown out of proportion, either or. But, I don't know what to say about that, except I think it was just words taken out of context. And, you know, I was like, man, I freaking hope this is damn true, because I feel like I'm the only one that don't know, you know, but, No one as far as the office came up to me and said that I was hired. So until later on, you know, a couple months later when, you know, so. But, hey, it happened. So better late than never, man.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty happy. I'm very happy.
That's cool it happened. Now, let me ask you this real quick, and then I'll let somebody else ask you a question.
I hope I'm not taking anybody's time, I hope. I know you guys are rolling with punches.
Oh, hell, you're.
I don't want to.
You're a Mondo. You're a god, man. You get some time, you know.
Well, God's a little strong, but I'll take him a Mondo. That's all right.
I want to ask you, around when you did finally sign with Ring of Honor, it was right around the time that Ohio Valley first announced their deal with TNA. Were you kind of thinking, okay, I've got to go to Ring of Honor because Jim Cornette's there and it's a good chance, or did part of you think, well, maybe I should hang around and see if, you know, TNA, you know, might be interested in me? Or is it just kind of
that's actually another good question. My answer to that is, I've been at OVW since I came back since when? Oh, gosh, 2009, I want to say, you know, and I've been working, and I've been working hard, and I've been going every week, you know, and, you know, a couple overseas tours here, a couple overseas tours there. Tried WWE a couple times, got shot down, you know, just still got the answer is, oh, I don't look at you as a wrestler. I look at you more as just a referee, and it's not a knock on you. But, you know, I mean, Johnny Ace told me, you know, I look at you and I don't see you as the next Randy Orton or the next Jack Swagger, you know, I look at you as a ref. And, you know, I played freaking hardball with him, man, for 45 minutes one time in his office. And nothing ever came of that, you know, even when I kind of thought I had, like, some type of, you know, and I understand it. Johnny, personally, I'm sure is a great guy, you know what I mean? And he's always been very nice and very good to me. But when push comes to shove, Johnny's about business, you know what I mean? And, you know, I heard other people say this, and I can jump on the bandwagon with all those people themselves. And I wouldn't want his job because he's got to answer to everybody, you know what I mean? And especially at Vince. I'm sure that's not too pleasant, especially when he's in a bad mood. I've seen him when he's in a bad mood, and it's very, there's a few dark clouds come over the arena when he's in a bad mood. But anyway, that's not the point. you know, business is business. If that's his perception, you know what, good. It's my job to change that, and that's what I'm going to do. So, you know, I just went back. I said, you know, I'm 5'7". It is what it is. I ain't going to grow it any much longer. You know, I even tried hanging from a pull-up bar with a 45-pound weight attached to my arms. No, I'm just kidding. I really didn't do that. But, you know, you never know. Maybe it could have worked. So I'm like, hey, you know what? I could be the most black guy, tan guy, naturally, and, you know, still, you know, be persistent on what I'm doing. And that's what I did. And finally, you know, Jimmy came, and I started doing Ring of Honor shots. And he actually got me a lot of bookings when I wasn't signed, just kind of doing things here and there, you know, sporadically. And I got a good reputation, you know, knock on wood, as far as I know, you know, I mean, they said I've done everything that they want me to do and been doing well, you know, and then TNA came along, and it's one of those things where, you know, they brought a couple guys down, Rob Terry, who I love Big Rob, and I wish I could work him any day of the week, man. I had so many good matches with him in Florida when he just fought. I won't even say it was his first match in Florida, I'm not sure, but I've worked like 10 times, me and Nick, you know, and I'm glad I got to do it with him once again this recently time. You know, and Jesse, who I knew this a little bit, he was in Nick's class a little bit. So, but nothing was really happening there, you know what I mean? Al Snow is still there, who, mad respect and props to Al Snow. Love Al. He taught me so many things mentally as far as just working, as far as his working period goes. I mean, the guy knows his stuff, and there's a reason why he's had 12 years as a job, had a job 12 years with WWE, and that's the reason why. Al's a freaking very, very intelligent, smart man. So I don't know, you know what I mean? It was like one of those things where it's like, okay, well, what's going to happen? What am I going to do? And all of a sudden, you know, boom, the offer gets offered to Ring of Honor. You know, at this point in time, I wrestled for Ring of Honor many, many times, and I haven't done anything with TNA, you know?
Yes.
So, there's two main things, and I'm not like a lot of guys, you know. I mean, call me silly for this. Maybe it's a bad business move, maybe it's not, but there's a lot of not loyal people out there in wrestling, whereas they'll just take what they can get because, you know what, it's all about me. And, you know, I understand that and I get that, but I felt there's always that loyalty to Jim for everything he's done for me in the past. You know, he didn't have to do those things. He didn't want to, because hell, it wasn't going to affect him if he did it or not. You know, and I worked for RE, like I said, gave me those opportunities at Ring of Honor, and it was not only was it just, you know, it was a great atmosphere, something different, you know, to work with, and, you know, the guys, the styles, all that stuff. But wrestling was fun again there, you know what I mean? And that's the key word, it was fun. And it made me realize this is why I wanted to be a wrestler. This is why I like wrestling in the first place. It was because it was about wrestling, you know? It was a winner and a loser. It was black and white, you know what I mean? It was, it was less entertainment, more sports. Is that a good way to put it, you know? But
yeah,
I had fun.
Yeah.
And it was a challenge to me because that was very different. You know, there's a difference between working in OVW and, you know, even though the wheel's always round, but the atmosphere, it's a difference working in OVW with the fans than it is for Ring of Honor. You know what I mean? It's just it's a different ballgame. You know what I mean? So I like a challenge.
Listen, buddy, how does it make you feel? With Les Thatcher and I did a show last Wednesday. We were talking about the iPay-per-view. We were talking about Adam Cole being so young, and Les worked with him doing a seminar with CZW. But we kind of talked about, you know, the catch-22 the Ring of Honor is in right now with financing and direction and philosophy and having the bodies to be, you know, that guy who you want to represent, not only ROH, but Sinclair Broadcasting and the TV show and the whole nine yards. And it's a tough walk for them right now, but we talked about was Cole the guy? Is he going to be ready? It's like, you know, okay, we'll see how it goes because he's got so much talent. But we kind of like just kind of said, well, I wonder if there's, you know, who else would be out there. Well, people immediately after the show, there were three of them that sent me a text right away who were in and around Ring of Honor that said your name. If there was going to be a guy who would be Ring of Honor champion right now in their eyes, it would be you. How does that make you feel being there? Because one of them was from a younger guy, so it's, you know, obviously you've been nice to somebody so far because you've obviously made an impact.
Well, that's great. I mean, when you say, was that Les Thatcher that said that would be Ring of Honor champion, or just some random person? I'm sorry, I got confused there for the last second.
No, there were three guys. Les and I were talking about it, just kind of talking about the pay-per-view and everything leading out of it. And,
right, okay.
And right after the show, we did, you know, a couple of people in and around Ring of Honor, just because we kind of just dismissively said, you know, hey, you know, Cole, but they're in that catch 22 spot. You know, you wonder, you know, Haas, Benjamin, there are some guys like that who could be on top. And we kind of just, you know, we moved on to something else, didn't really harp on it. But then three people right afterwards said, you know, if it was up to me, it would be Mike Mondo, which I thought was really nice.
Yeah, dude, that's very flattering, to be honest, and, I mean, that's awesome, you know what I mean? I mean, it makes it feel like everything you're doing is kind of worth it in the end, you know, because, I mean, I said in a recent interview I did with, while I was at TV, they had me do an interview with Ring of Honor, and, you know, that was like the signature main goals for 2012, and my answer was simple, you know, I know it's not a little cliche, because everyone says, oh, I'm going to be the world champion, you know what I mean? But you know what, it's true. My goal going forward in 2012 is to be the ROH World Champion, you know, and the fact that they noticed that and they said that just gives me more fire just to freaking keep proving people, you know, wrong about, you know, what they think of me or the perspectives of me, you know. I know I'm just kind of getting there, you know what I mean? I haven't been there for, like, a lot of years like a lot of other guys have, but you know what? It's a business, you know, and I pretty much at that TV in a very nice way because, of course, you know, you don't want to come across. I mean, you never want to come across like an asshole. So number one, who wants to deal with an asshole? And number two, that's not my personality. I genuinely think I'm a pretty nice guy. But you know, I let everyone go. I let everyone that matters with the show there know in a very nice politically way, saying, hey, look, you know, when the opportunity is given, I said, I'll let you know that my hands are open. I'm just waiting for the ball. You know what I mean? And I want to score some touchdowns because I know what I can contribute. You know, I believe I'm good at what I do. And, you know, I just wanted to let you know that. You know what I mean? But I go, whether there's five people out there or 5,000 sold out right now, I go, I can promise you'll always get the best performance out of me because this is what I do. It's how I make a living. It's my passion. And, you know, I think becoming the ROH heavyweight champion would be like a little closure for me too, as far as all the hard work that I feel I put towards this business since, you know, getting released in 2008. I mean, that's what I do. I mean, I study tapes up and down. I really don't have a life, really. I mean, people make fun of me for it, but, you know, it really doesn't bug me, you know, because it's kind of the life I chose. But I will break that. I watch everything with Ring of Honor. I study every guy. I watch what they do. I know what they do, you know. So if I'm ever in a encounter, whether I have a 5-minute match or a 30-minute match, I know just the type of match I'm going to have with them to get the most. And that's one thing I can promise to anybody that ever gets in the ring with me is that I will bring out the best in you because I will push you, whether you like it or not. And you might hate it when we're in the moment, but you'll thank me in the end. So I really appreciate whoever those guys would have made those compliments. I'm glad it's starting to kind of trickle down and people starting to see, and if that's just from one match, I look forward to the near future because I got my goals and I'm going to have my short-term goals too, leading to my major goals, and there'll be no better feeling that by the end of this year I want to sell out the Hammerstein Ballroom, you know, working with the ROH World Champion, whoever that may be, and I will be more prepared than ever because, you know, I don't want to, not disrespecting any other companies and their world titles, but, you know, I feel like the ROH world title means something. I feel it has a significant meaning to it. You know, it's not a title that's dropped and passed every week or every 2 weeks, you know. I think there's only been one ever two-time ROH champion. I want to say it's Austin Aries. You know, and everyone else has just been ROH champion. That was it. But I'm just using that as an example that it's not like it's drop it, pick it up, drop it, pick it up. So, you know, sometimes in other companies kind of passed around like a lollipop. But this one actually stays on somebody, and it gives it credibility, and it's, again, it's not winning the title, it's how many times can you keep the title, you know, and that's my main goal, and that's what I want to accomplish 2012, and that's just my mindset going into everything, every promo, every match, and I'm going to give whatever it takes. I mean, this guy, I'm not just hungry, man, I'm starving on the side of the road right now, and I want to embrace every opportunity put in front of me. And I'm going to line them all up and knock them all down, you know. And, you know, I'm going to do what I need to do to get over. And that's what it comes down to, you know. And if you like it, great. If you don't, well, you know what? Sorry about that. Because, you know, I walked the night shows enough in WWE, and it cost me. Because guess how many people really called me back when I got fired? None. Less than a handful. So, you know, I mean, personal is personal. I'm a great, you know, great. I feel like I'm a good dude. You know what I mean? But business is business. And as long as I'm not going into business for myself and I'm doing what's asked of me, I will make the most out of my opportunities and I will give the fans the show of a lifetime. As I mentioned in my previous interview, you know, you're paying a ticket to see me. That's awesome. Because you know what? You get every dollar and cents worth. And if you're not one of those, sooner or later you will become one of those. Because, again, whether you like me, you're a fan of me, you know, you're gonna find it's very worth it to invest that dollar and that cent into a wrestling show to come and see me. And that's what it's all about, man. I love entertaining, you know. I believe in what I do. I'm confident in what I do, you know. I don't want to come across cocky and just very, very, I mean, this is my life. You know, I've been doing 11 years. I don't know anything really other than wrestling. And that's my PhD. You'll never see me in a classroom, you know, teaching freaking physics or math or something. But, you know, I know a couple of headlock takeovers. And, that's really it, man. That's the story, you know. So I just want to thank you, ROH, for giving me the platform and the opportunity to showcase what I can do physically. You know, I think finally the fans start to see that I can do more than just a cartwheel and toe touch. And, you know, that's where my head's at. And I'm going to keep just doing what I'm told to do, and I'm going to make the most of it. And hopefully my rise to superstardom to the top of the ladder, the ROH heavyweight title, will be a lot sooner than I think. So.
Yeah. I was going to, and Larry, I'm going to let you ask a question real quick. But, yeah, Mondo, I mean, I think it's kind of like, I don't know if it'll go like this exactly. Maybe a bad analogy, but it's almost like Dolph Ziggler. I think, you know, your stint in Ring of Honor is to give you a chance to, you know, not let the Spirit Squad be the thing that defines you in your career. But this is, you know, so.
Right. Yeah, man, it's that's true, man. Like, Dolph, we just talked a couple weeks ago, and he's very happy, you know what I mean? But he says, you know, he told me that they have him working a couple times a night during house shows. And I go, man, you are so secure. It's not even funny. I go, and he knows that. I'm not worried about that right now. But there's a reason why they're doing that to you, man. And I hope you realize that. And he asked me, what do you mean? I go, you're like, right now, you're like Shawn Michaels of the 1990s. You know what I mean? Like a guy that sells his show and freaking bumps his ass off, makes people that look good, that freaking can't look good without you. You know? And you put them over in the end, you know? And you get twice a night sometimes. But eventually, man, eventually they're going to say, well, man, this kid's freaking, you know, he's paid his dues here. He's been working hard. He can talk. He looks great. You know, he can cut a promo. You know, I think let's give this guy a shot. You know what I mean? Let's give him the ball and see what happens. And then finally he's going to get that big push. And then he's going to get that brass ring. And all of a sudden he's going to be more than experienced prior. His confidence will probably be now 10 times higher. He's confident now, but he's going to be more confident when he gets the ball. And he's going to hit a home run. And so I'm not worried about him one bit. I think he's going to be just fine. But I told him I'm very proud of everything he's done. You know, I'm very, very proud of what he's done because it's like a savage of wolves up there, man. You know, and he's a very smart individual. So he knows how to handle himself, conduct himself. And, you know, there's a big difference between paycheck-wise between the first match and the last match. So people, you know, I don't know who now up there, but I'm saying in general, you know, speaking in terms of people will do what they need to do to get that spot, you know. But, you know, in the end, when it's curtain to curtain, there's no one that can control anything out there with you, you know. So enjoy the moment and freaking control the haters, shut them up. Because you know what? You ain't any good if you ain't got any haters. Remember that, you know. So, I got nothing but confidence for Dolph, man. He's gonna excel. He'll be very successful. I guarantee it. Give him another year, man. I guarantee he'll be a totally different position than he is now. And he's the best champion right now. I mean, what the heck? That's freaking awesome, you know. And you know, but I'm really happy for him, man. He's one of my good friends, like family to me. I know his whole family pretty much. Keep in touch with everybody, and, you know, I'm proud of him. That's all.
Larry, what you got for Mondo?
Well, I just wanted to say it's a pleasure to speak with you, and I just have tremendous respect for what a great wrestler you are.
Thank you.
Appreciate
that.
I was curious to know if you're still doing the mocap stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I just came back from mocap.
What do you think about that? I mean, how do you feel about doing that?
Yeah, man, no, mocap, dude, I love it. Oh, my God, it's like play wrestling, man. It's so much fun. I mean, I made about 8 video games now. I did Raw vs. SmackDown from 2004 all the way up to now, and we're just finishing up 2013. The only video game I didn't make was 2006, and that's only because I was on the road at the time. But I've done Legends of WrestleMania, All-Stars. I've done might have been one or two of the games I made outside of Raw vs. SmackDowns. But, yeah, man, it's fun. It's, you know, on the bigger moves, we use crash pads because, you know, we use, like, a regular ring just like anything else, you know. And I don't know if you ever seen pictures of my Facebook or whatever, like, with the mocap suit on, you know, and with the little sensor balls all over them. But it's great, man. And my favorite part is actually doing the entrances because, like, you know, we're all fans. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in the wrestling business in the first place. So it's like, you know, before we're about to do, you know, an entrance, say it was just name a name out there, Jeff Hardy or whatever, right? So, you know, we have to watch, like, a TV, you know what I mean? We watch Jeff Hardy, how he does his entrance. And usually they break it up into two parts, you know, one where you come to the ring and then they do a take two where from the ring to the ring, actually in the ring, and then we do his stuff. But it's cool because because they actually play the music in the background, you know? So it's like you come out acting like Jeff Hardy and get the music to feel it in the background. And, you know, it's just fun, man. It just, like, makes you want to be, you know, like a fan again. You just play with it. You know, your coworkers are laughing at you. And you just, I mean, you make it a good time, you know? It's long days. It's hard work. But, you know, shout out to my boy, Brian Williams, who is actually my boss. He's just a big, you know, big wrestling fan himself. And, just really great guy. And because I've been there so long, I've actually got to develop personal relationships with everybody there. So we keep in touch, and we just talk about anything, about life, about wrestling, about whatever. Just, you know, because I've known him for like now eight years, so 7 or 8 maybe. And, you know, they're really, really good, genuine people. And it's such a pleasure to go out there once a month. It's actually 5 months out of the year. But we look forward to it. And again, it's in L.A. So, I mean, what the hell? You can't beat that, right?
Right.
Yeah, mocap's wonderful, man. No, it's a blessing to have that job, and I'd freaking love to have that job forever if I can. You know. So,
thanks.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, Mondo, this has been fantastic. What a treat! What a surprise! We're gonna start wrapping up here shortly, but I tell you what, man. Since I got you on the line, maybe I can rope you in a few months. Would you come on the show and talk OVW?
Yeah. Give me some time. Let me see what I got lined up, and
yeah.
I will get in touch with you for sure, man. But thank you guys for supporting us. You know, it's just nice to have, you know, get some publicity out there. You know, everyone at OVW works so very hard. I mean, I listened to the whole thing even before I came on, and I hope I'm not taking much more of your time, but just in a quick nutshell, just guys that you named, like, the future is, like, I can't wait to see what it looks like. I mean, with just Ali Baez and just himself and the way he talks and carries himself. I mean, that's a star right there in the future. I definitely see.
Yes.
You got guys like what you mentioned, Shiloh, who I believe at Ring of Honor, if they do the Mikey Whipwreck gimmick with him, oh, my God, I think that's put the perfect thing for him right there.
Yeah.
Just make everybody look good. I mean, Shiloh, phenomenal talent, you know. Jamin Olivencia, I've never seen more energy in a guy in a baby face in my life. Paradise, the character in himself. Never seen anybody that can just turn on the switch and be somebody that he's totally not and just entertain, you know, and not just entertain, but he's like so multitask creative-wise.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If I had just a pith of his brain, I only wonder what I can come up with in my matches. And I'm kind of creative as it is. Sometimes I overbook stuff too much, but, you know, I'm just making a point there. So holler out to all my OVW boys, you know, keep kicking ass, taking names. You know, timing's everything, but I know when they get the opportunity, you know, they're going to knock it out of the park. So I'm proud of all of them. Just keep the heads up and keep striving for the dream, man.
Just let me ask you real quick. Are we going to see more of OVW TV going forward, or is it going to be pretty limited going forward, or do you know?
I will be there. It just depends on my schedule, actually, as far as how ROH works and mocap right now. Which is why you haven't seen me on TV as of late. If you're going to see me, it's going to be the last dark match, which I'll be there Wednesday.
Okay.
So I'm assuming I'll be the last dark match if I'm if I do do something.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the reason being is they want to put any focus on me if I'm not going to be able to pay it off or be there, because obviously that my schedule is very up and down, you know. But, that shouldn't discourage anybody from coming out still, because, I mean, without me, with or without me, the show will deliver on its own. So,
Well, Mike, what do you think about that? Because I actually think it's an advantage. It's almost like a throwback thing where, you know, we've seen it that, you know, from the reports from the ROH TV tapings that Duke Burns in Baltimore, where, you know, it's a special treat for the crowd. It's what you used to get back in the day when you went to a TV taping. There was, you know, usually, and obviously in WWE they do this too. I mean, it's just a little special bonus for the crowd. So to me, it's just even more of a reason to come out sometimes.
Absolutely, you know, and I couldn't agree more. It comes sometimes in a people's career when you need to just, even though just say in hindsight, you're injury-free, you feel great, you feel this is the best you've been, but you've been on television freaking out, I'll just say 2 years straight, and you haven't had a break. Sometimes the fans get burnt out a little bit, and you need to take that month off. You know, even if it's just a month, you need to take that time off to refreshing yourself, refreshing your character, and then come back, and it's like, oh, all right, we like this guy again, or, oh, he's back, we hate this guy, you know? But it gives that people a little bit of a break, you know what I mean? It's like when you're writing, if you're writing an essay, you know, and your hand just starts going numb because you're writing so long, you know, freaking getting tired, man. You just got to drop that pencil, shake out your hand for freaking 5 minutes, you know? And then when you get back to work, it's all, you feel fresh as a daisy again, and you, boom, you're writing again for another hour. You know, so you need that break, you know? And, because they have a tendency of sometimes they could burn yourself out. And it actually can do less for you than help you getting over with the fans, you know? So, but I agree, man. It's always nice to have that shock value, you know? And realistically, I mean, I haven't been on TV in a while, but I mean, I've only missed, I think, like, what, 2 weeks now? So, you know, even if I was away for a little longer, but, and then come back, like, I know what you're saying, though. It's that shock value. Like, oh, my God, he's back, you know? Or whatever, but yeah, that's always a cool moment to have, definitely, you know. So.
All right, Mondo, well, thank you so much for being. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you down the road, and we'll be following your career very closely, and best of luck to you. We'll be watching you, that's for sure.
Awesome, man. Thanks, guys. And thanks, for everybody out there listening, you can always follow me on Twitter, @MikeMondo83. So, you know, if you're curious what I'm doing on a daily-to-daily basis, which is whenever I tweet, really. But, you know, figured I'd just get a little plug in there if you don't mind, boys. Sorry about that.
Oh, no, please do. Please. And by the way, just real quick, you mentioned injury-free. That was pretty slick of you to actually go so far as to fake an injury against Taven and actually take off your boot. That was pretty slick. So.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I had to pull something out, man. I had to, miraculously, I'm just going to say, I happened to pop it back into place on the way back. So if it wasn't for me, like, wasn't for me, popping that bone back into place, I think I might have been match made and not have continued. But then again, maybe it would have. I don't know. You have to watch the TV in about a month and find out for yourself.
That was a close one. All right, Mike. Well, thank you very much.
Right.
And we'll follow your career, and we'll talk to you down the road. Appreciate it.
All right. Sorry if I stole anyone's voice time. Apologize.
Oh, no. You're good. You're good. All right,
guys.
Mike Mondo, what a treat, guys. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, whoever set that up. How did that happen?
Wow.
That's pretty cool, wasn't it, Larry? Jeez.
Very much so.
Well, where were we here? I guess we'll, what time is it? 3:20. Okay. I was going to say, you know, as far as Johnny Spade goes, he has a very interesting challenger on the horizon here, Larry. Of all people, a multi-time caller to the show, I'd even say a friend of the show, the returning Jamin Olivencia, returned at the Saturday Night Special, won a Battle Royal. Earn a title shot, very interesting title shot, next Sunday at the OVW House Show at Expo 5, next Sunday the 18th. It's going to be Johnny Spade versus Jamin Olivencia in a good guy versus good guy match. But on this most recent television, Olivencia, at one point in the match, he kind of made a move like he was going to attack Spade from behind. What's your prediction for that match, Larry? That should be quite a bout. Wow.
Yeah, there were some tensions there. That's one that if I was in Louisville, I'd be interested in seeing that. I think that could be a really interesting match.
Yes. Unfortunately, I can't go on a Sunday that time due to my work schedule. Otherwise, I probably would actually get my ass out of the house, Ollie, and go to a house show just to shut you up. But I'll ask you, Ollie. Give me a prediction on Spade versus Olivencu. Give me a prediction on that one. Is Ollie there?
Larry. He was. He's showing it. We're having a little technical problem as usual. Let me see if I can get him back. He was there.
Okay. Okay. Oh, no problem. I'll go on. He'll come back. We'll come with him. Well, Mike, let me ask you this. What was your feeling on the Paradise and Brandon Espinosa feud and the addition of Chris? Mike?
Yeah, just Chris. You know, I figured something was going to be up when it was announced that it was going to be a straight shooting segment. I believe it's the name of it. You know, there's one thing that OPW can still do, very 80s style, is kind of pull off something like that. Yeah, Ring of Honor TNA can't really do that right now. You know, it works. And it's really goofy, and obviously it does make you cringe a little bit. But with that said, they both, you know, again, Paradise has played it up great, and again, I like sports entertainment too. So the shock value of just Chris rolling into the picture, you know, it was like, okay, you got me. That didn't make me laugh. Now, as this goes along, I don't know how much I'll be able to stick with it, but I've been entertained for the little bit I've seen.
Yeah, if anybody doesn't know, that doesn't watch the show, OBWrestling.com, new episodes up every single Thursday. You can watch them all. Chris is, remember
the jury's still out on Chris. On his sexuality.
Chris is like Pat. We don't know if Chris is got an innie or an outie. The jury is out. We don't know. And frankly, we don't know the jury on Brandon Espinosa.
No, we do not.
So, and by the way, Mike, you probably haven't seen a lot of them. You've seen some, but what's your take on Paradise? Because frankly, I think he works that particular gimmick just as well as anybody this side of Adrian Street. He just really, he fits that gimmick so well. You know?
So. Yeah, he's into it where, you know, it's tongue-in-cheek enough, but, you know, kind of serious enough and over-the-top enough. And it's just, you know, you got to be really good at it. I mean, Adrian Street was really, really good at it. And he was, you know, the best of the androgynous thing. Because the thing was, he wasn't a gay character. Adrian Street, I mean, he was, you know, played up that way, but he'd also out-wrestle you and kick your ass, and he was a bodybuilder and the whole nine yards there, where, you know, obviously, you know, Paradise, looks-wise, is not, you know, at that level or anything because, you know, he's got to live in Kentucky, for God's sake, and live. So, he's gonna, you know, as it goes along, he'll even get better with it too. And it is entertaining. And again, like, you know, the heterosexual male Pepper Parks and characters like that. I mean, when you can play him, find that balance of the tongue in cheek and actually being able to entertain in the ring and carry a 8 to 12 minute match or however long it's gonna be. I mean, you know, that's good. And I've liked it so far.
Is Ali back, Larry?
I am back, Trent. Can you guys hear me?
Yes,
I can.
I apologize for the technical difficulties. I was on the line the whole time, but for some reason my voice was being blocked off. But I do want to go back and address the question regarding Johnny Spade and Jamie Olivencia headlining the March 18th OVW show at Derby Park. And all I got to say is if you're in town, you should probably come and check this out. Jamie Olivencia, I've said this numerous times on this podcast, Jamie Olivencia is one of the literally most talented people I have ever met in my life. And I'm not just talking about wrestling-wise. Personality, charisma, the ability to speak, the ability to entertain is definitely there. And Johnny Spade is a guy who's been around for a long time. He's finally got his opportunity to be the top guy, and he's got a lot to prove. Because he's got an entire locker room of guys who are just as hungry coming after him. And his first challenger is really, like I said, he's going to be bringing a lot of energy. He's going to be bringing a lot of pizzazz and a lot of skill to the table. And I think that anybody who comes to Derby Park and pays $5 to see this match is going to get their money's worth. Because not only do you get Jamie Olivencia and Johnny Spade for the OVW Heavyweight Championship, but you also get the TNA pay-per-view that evening for the low, low price of $5. And if that wasn't enough, Muhammad Ali Vaez will be at the show, too.
Well, that's a hell of a deal. Yeah, for $5, you can't beat that with a stick. And plus, you can get probably discounted Papa John's pizza, too, if you buy a ticket in advance, you know. So you can have a cheap night out on the whole thing. So, well, that's Ali, but what's your prediction? Who are you picking, Spader or Olivencia? Give us a prediction.
Between Spader and Olivencia, I'm going to have to go with Jamin Olivencia. And nothing against Johnny Spade, because, like I said, you know, he's a veteran. He's been around for a while. But quite frankly, Jamin Olivencia is on a roll. He just got done with the Broadway play, The Elaborate Entrance of Chad Deity. He's on fire right now. There is a lot of interest in Jamin Olivencia from the big two companies. So he's got something to prove, too. And being able to say that you are the top guy in the top developmental territory in the world is a big mantle of pride to wear. So Jamin has all of that momentum riding behind him. The stakes have never been bigger for Olivencia, and I see him pulling out an upset victory, and I do see the OVW Heavyweight Championship changing hands at a non-televised event. Because, like, that's the reality of the situation. On any given day, any person can take a loss. And I think Johnny Spade, while his title win has been a great feel-good story, I don't see him holding on to it past Jamin Olivencia on the 18th.
Very bold prediction. Very bold prediction.
Well, I'm known to make predictions every now and again, Trent.
As much as I like Olivencia, and I agree, super talented guy, great wrestler, great energy, and I'm not even saying that Spade's going to beat him, but for some reason I see Spade coming out the 18th holding on to the title some way. That's
some way would probably have to do with Frank Miller and his crooked ways, getting his nose involved in other people's businesses, probably trying to hold down Jamin Olivencia, because Frank Miller is living in the past, and Frank Miller has a tyrannical grip on the locker room.
Well, whatever it takes. I'm just saying, I see Spade holding the title, you know, but I don't think that – now, obviously, Trailer Park Trash and Spade are friends. There's no doubt, but I don't think that Trash is against Olivencia. I mean, he's not a family member, per se, you know, so it should be down the middle, I would think, but who knows? We'll see. Hopefully there might be a TV camera there that might actually show some of this footage on the next taping. That would be nice. Just to show the finish or something.
That's a good, strong possibility. Plus, there's Loomis Cavanaugh, who I can't say enough good things about as far as his video production work is being done. Loomis will be in the house for that March 18th event. So if there is a title change that takes place, nonetheless, it will be broadcast on television.
Well, good to hear. And you're right. Those Loomis Vision videos, great stuff. Some really, really well-done videos. Before we get out of here, Mike, just tie up a couple loose ends. What's your read on Jesse Godders, Mike? Give me your take on Mr. Spectacular.
You know, I like him a lot. Now, and this is no buttering up to Mr. Vaez, but you can see where he's got all of the looks, and he's going to get better in the ring. He's going to get a little bit more confident. He's got so much confidence, and he's full of himself so much, as well he should be, being so spectacular as he is. Sometimes he's got so much to say, it gets a little bit jumbled. But, you know, that's going to come along a little bit better, too. Hey, look, his form was fantastic when he was pressing that girl. But, you know, he's got to understand, as Muhammad had to step in and tell him, look, you know, we've got business to attend to. We have people screwing with the family. We've got changes going on here, JoJo. You know, we got to get on business here. So, you know, Mr. Spectacular is going to come along here in the ring and on the mic a little bit more. But, obviously, looking like that, he's going to want to prove himself, because when you look at Mike Bennett in Ring of Honor, when you look at the guys who are signed by WWE and who are sent to Florida, and obviously TNA with Rob Terry, that they want guys who are a certain way looking sometimes. You know, a swimmer's build will work, but when you're spectacular, it can sometimes work a little bit more. So obviously his game is going to continue to step up, because he's going to have eyeballs on him.
And no offense to Mr. Vaez, because I do agree Vaez was right that Spectacular was probably doing things at the wrong time, trying to get attention. But I must say, Ali, my attention was diverted to where Mr. Spectacular's hands exactly were as he was pressing that girl over his head. That's what had my attention for a moment there. So. But I will say,
she had some really well-developed gluteus maximus muscles, did she not?
Exactly.
Yes,
she
absolutely.
Can I just say this too? As a lover of women, Ohio Valley, the woman ratio in professional wrestling when it comes to Ohio Valley is top notch. It is second to none. And JoJo and her thighs, and I don't want to sound sexist here because it's just as much about her mind as it is her thighs, but you know what? What a fine combination she has been blessed with.
What's your take on Taylor Hendricks? Do you find her attractive, Mr. Mary Sempervivi?
Well, what did you say?
Taylor Hendricks.
A little too kind of boring and homely sounding for me. I mean, I saw her get rolled up on when she was talking to the pretty boy there. So I don't know what to think about her quite yet. It seems to be like, you know, just that's kind of the thing I would want.
I like the girl next door. I'm a CJ Lane man myself, you know. So I like the girl next door. But before we get out, just one last thing. But I guess one thing I really didn't mention was the brother versus brother battle. Speaking of the former Elite, McNaylor and Revolver, and now ring announcer Whitney Gabrielle, the girlfriend of McNaylor, is in the mix. And I don't know, guys. Mike, do you think that Whitney might be jumping ship and getting on the going from the old bull to the new calf? You know what I'm saying? You think Revolver might be looking at the girl?
Knowing Alvarez the way I do, he told me lots of things about, you know, Ted McNaylor, and, you know, I know it seems to be that Adam's coming out a little bit strong, like, you know, with the whole forced kissing and everything, you know, but if you look past that a little bit, you'll see that that's probably what she's going to need, because you never know what Ted McNaylor could be up to. So I think really, you know, Adam just maybe misunderstood in all this.
He kissed a man's girlfriend flush on the mouth. I don't think that's too hard to understand, Mike.
Well, and you know what? To be honest with you, with how, you know, we've heard, I don't know how it is with Miss Devereaux and everything, but, you know, she just may be really used to that kind of style thing. Maybe that's what she responds to. I don't know. I'm not in the locker room. Mr. Baez, what do you say?
You know, I don't want to get too in-depth on this, you know, because obviously Miss Devereaux and Mr. McNaylor have.
Hey, who's Ollie again?
Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can get a bear.
Okay. Hear me.
Okay.
You guys hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay.
We hear you. Yep.
I think so. Frank Miller must be working the control board because I keep getting cut off here. Here's my thoughts on this. This is kind of a topic that you can't tread on too much because people's feelings can get hurt and whatnot. But, you know, I don't blame Adam Revolver at all here. If Mrs. Devereaux and Mr. McNaylor were in such a well-defined, committed relationship, then Brittany wouldn't be walking around flashing her stuff like a floozy all the time. She wouldn't be in the ring looking at my ass and checking out Adam Revolver all the time. I mean, she's made some very inappropriate comments. You guys may notice that from time to time my hair is flat ironed. Well, the girls in the locker room do that for me because I have beautiful hair and they're all jealous of it and they like to touch it. But Brittany Devereaux has definitely come on to me as well. She's definitely caressed my chest a few times. So if you don't want that kind of attention and you're not trying to send out that kind of vibe, well, quite frankly, you shouldn't be, you know, serving it up like that. So, you know, whatever happens. I'm sure she's probably trying to play both sides of the story because she wants whatever she can get. She's a typical woman. She's going to work you for what she can.
Well, Brittany Devereaux is hot. I think she's very cute. I love her outfits. But I must say, Ali, she's not near as hot as your former slave girl, Fatima. I just say that. So.
That's true. Wait, I'm confused.
So, I must say, and I've said this the last few months, Revolver and McNaylor, these guys are fighting with no end in sight. I just see OVW not being big enough for the both of them, and now the girl's in the middle of it. I don't know. I just see one of these guys is going to have to go or something. I don't know. It's the only thing I could see that could end this. What else could end this? I mean, holy mackerel. So, anyway, let's start wrapping it up. This has been a fantastic show. Mike, thanks so much for joining us. And thank you to Mike Mondo. Boy, what a nice surprise that was. So, Mike, I know you're a big audio whore, so go ahead and peddle your wares, Mr. Sempervivi. What you got coming up?
Coming up actually tonight, even though it was recorded at with a time change, about 5 o'clock this morning Eastern time. I was pretty much up all night recording Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez. Yes, not live this week because Brian had some things to do and was actually on the road, so we had to make a go of it when we could. So that's going to be on, I think it's Sirius Channel 98, XM204, KHSP.com, WrestlingObserver.com, one of those places you can go to and find out and listen to the show. Yeah, I'm like Big Audio Nightmare. We got a lot to talk about with New Japan coming up. Hopefully we'll be recording that sometime soon. Hopefully early in the week. Adam's been a little bit under the weather, so we'll be doing that. And then also, Les Thatcher and I here at the Ringside Wrap at the Blog Talk Radio Georgia Wrestling History Network this coming Wednesday from 8 to 10. And I'm not sure who we're going to have on this week, but we had J.K. Dillon on last week, and it was just fantastic. So we'll just keep him coming.
Well, I can't wait to hear the show that was recorded at 5 in the morning. That should be an exciting adventure, huh? Wow.
It's the least lucid show you've ever heard for all intents and purposes, and the amount of time and wackiness with the Hogan sex tape and some of the stuff that we talked about was just, yeah, it was a very odd edition. If it was airing at 4 o'clock in the morning, it would be fine. It'll be interesting to see what Sports Byline has to say about this after you hear it.
Well, great. Thank you, Mike. Let me ask you one more thing real quick, Mike, and I know you're real busy with MMA and pro wrestling. Now, is OVW something you make it for you to watch, or is it you don't have time to watch it? Or if you're seeing 6 episodes, what's your take on it going forward? Are you going to watch it or are you going to kind of let it slide?
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of times, I have to use the sliding scale when it comes to stuff every week. Like, you know, the NCAA wrestling tournament is going to be coming up, and I usually do a wrap-up on that for the website. And that's coming up, in about a week here, I believe, the D1. So, you know, that week I can't watch TNA or I can't watch. There's always something that I'm not going to be able to watch. But because of the way Ohio Valley is and the fact that you can access it online, it's, you know, at least a little bit easier for me to check out. So, yeah, I'm going to try to keep it, you know, steady in the rotation. And the other cool part is when you go to the site, too, everything is right there all lined up. So it just makes it easy to catch back up again in case you miss something.
Okay, great. Well, Mike, you've been great as usual. Great talking to you as always. And maybe we'll get you on the line here again down the road, assuming the show keeps going, because you're always an interesting guest and always enjoy all the shows you do. You do a great job, Mike, and I appreciate it. And if nothing else, you're good for comic relief, I must say, at times. So,
thank you for having me on. And Mr. Vaez, again, Godspeed to you for dealing with this every single day. Thank God it's every month and not every week, because you would just be completely insane.
Michael, you are obviously very, very wise man. So, yes, I thank you for experiencing what I have to go through every month and dealing with this nonsense. If you are ever in the Louisville area, I invite you to come down to the locker room and to get harassed and to experience the torment that is Frank Miller and his tyrannical reign on Ohio Valley Wrestling's locker room. I think you'll enjoy it a lot. And by saying enjoy it, I think you'll hate it.
That's if I can find a suit made of those vanilla car trees, maybe I can give him that or just something, because I don't even know if I'm going to be able to get near him with that stench. I mean, any man who wears a hat and glasses like that cannot be a reputable person, especially one that wears suspenders. So, you know, the quality of human being is just not there. But I look forward to that if I ever get a chance to go to Louisville. And, gentlemen, I hope you have a fine afternoon.
Thank you, Matt. You too. Appreciate it very much. Ali? Plug anything you've got coming up, and I ask you this every month, Ali. It always comes back to Michael Hayes, but where are you? What are your goals now in OVW? Are you still looking to get revenge on Michael Hayes, or are you looking to other pastors now?
You know what? I am done with Michael Hayes once and for all. Obviously, this guy is not going to face me on a fair-to-fair, level playing field. And at this point, I'm sick and tired of dealing with him, so, you know, I'm going to move on to different things. I've got a lot of projects going on right now, non-wrestling related, that are keeping me very busy. So I've got a few goals. I can't really talk too much about them, because, again, the contracts have not been signed yet. But I can announce that I will be competing in on the April 28th Derby City Bodybuilding Championships. I'll be competing in the men's physique division. It'll be my first bodybuilding and athletic show, so I'm very much looking forward to that. I'd also like to state that I can pass any company's wellness policy test right now. I am not on the gas. I am not on steroids. I am doing this through hard work, discipline, and dedication, which is what most people in society lack, which is why most people in society do not look the way I look and like Rob Terry and Jesse Godders. I'd also like to plug my Twitter account. You should follow me on Twitter because I'm smarter than most people who are listening to this podcast. You can follow me at A-L-I underscore V-A-E-Z. That's Ali underscore Vaez. I'm spelling it out because my name is usually misspelled by morons. And once again, it's A-L-I underscore V-A-E-Z. Follow me on Twitter because I've got some insightful yet witty things to say. Thank you.
I'm just disappointed you finally jumped on the Twitter bandwagon. I have yet to do that. So
you know, man, you can't fight society. You know,
if
Twitter is now the thing, I mean, you can, but you're going to get left behind. And I like Facebook personally. What I don't like is every time I log into Facebook, I have 50 people I've never met before trying to start a conversation with me, and I'm not interested in talking to you. Hint, hint, if you're listening to this podcast and I never respond to you on Facebook, you can stop asking because I'm probably not going to talk to you. But besides that, Twitter is like the new thing, and you can integrate it between Twitter and Facebook. So because of that, you know, I'm just getting along with the times. And, you know, as long as Frank Miller isn't on Twitter, then I'll be on Twitter all day.
Okay. I just want to ask you real quick, are there any other wrestlers, WWE otherwise, that are going to be competing in the bodybuilding competition? Fitness competition?
At this point, I believe I've heard some grumblings that OVW's own Jason Wayne will be competing at the same show. Yes.
Great.
Jason, however, will be competing in the bodybuilding division, whereas I will be in the men's physique. So the bodybuilding is basically you're looking to look like something, I guess, that was grown out of a Petri dish, whereas the men's physique division is striving to look like the cover of Men's Health, for instance. So I will be using my swimmer's build genetics to my advantage. I will be competing in the men's physique division, and Jason Wayne will be competing in the bodybuilding championship, and I believe his goal is to cut down to about 200 pounds. And on television, his normal weight is around 230 pounds.
Wow.
So he's cutting a lot of weight just like I have. I'm down about 17 pounds since January 15th. And I'm not done yet. So by the time I step on stage, I hope to weigh approximately 165 pounds, which is vastly down from what I normally weigh on television.
165? 165.
Yes. At 165 pounds, I will be at 6% body fat, and that is my goal. So, you know, we'll see how that works. I mean, now if I hit the weight or I don't, it's kind of close, but... like I said, this is something that, since I'm also in the fitness world, a fitness phenom, I felt like bodybuilding and men's physique is something that I should at least try my hand at once. And, you know, it only benefits my wrestling career because when you're jacked and you're tan, people want to be just like you and they'll pay money to see you. So based on that, you know, it's a good marriage of my two passions, wrestling and bodybuilding.
Jack and Tanned, don't steal Mondo's gimmick. But let me ask you this, 165, well, what do you do, live on air? Do you eat?
No, I do. I eat. I eat six meals a day. Unlike most people, I'm not eating processed bullshit and junk food. But I'm basically living off of a diet of eggs, oatmeal, chicken, brown rice. And, you know, I'm eating about 1,400 calories a day. So that's kind of what I'm surviving on. You should ask Anne-Marie about it, Trent. She knows all about my meal plans. But, yeah, it's just good whole food at regular times of the day. I'm not starving myself. I'm not doing any cardio. I am doing it the way you're supposed to do it, and that's by dedication and taking a long time and not missing any of my meals, not cheating on my diet, and not skipping any workouts. As
well,
a matter of fact,
say,
I'm standing here – I'm standing in the gym right now. I'm at Louisville Athletic Club. on Westport Road here in Louisville. I'm getting ready to start my leg workout, and I am right now watching Rob Terry leg press 1,200 pounds, and I'm dead serious about that. Loomis Cavanaugh is filming him right now. He is, and he's not wearing a shirt, which you can do if you look like Rob Terry. He's literally, there are 18 45-pound plates on the leg press machine, and
Good
Rob
Lord.
Is leg pressing it. Yes. So my hat's off to him. Wow. My hat's off to Jesse and to all the bodybuilding world, because the amount of dedication it takes to have a physique like they have is unbelievable. Most people throw unfair accusations at guys that look like that and automatically assume that they're cheating, that they're taking some kind of advantage, that they're using steroids. But I can tell you from personal experience, both of those guys have to go through blood tests because they are sponsored by supplement companies. So, yes, I know it's hard to believe that these guys are natural, but they really are, and it's because they are lifelong athletes who have more discipline than most people will ever have. And that's why they look the way they do. It's part of being in the family.
Well, I was going to say, Jason Lane, his last appearances on TV, you could tell that he lost weight. He didn't lift 200, but he lost noticeable weight. And Mondo, I heard Mondo on a recent interview claim that he has never used steroids in his life, no matter what he looked. You know, Mondo is jacked as anybody. Mondo says he's all natural, so that's great. You know?
Mondo is all natural. I've lived with Mondo for a few years now. And there is nobody I have ever met who survives on a diet of chicken and broccoli like Mike Mondo. He is so disciplined. I'm serious. And for the longest time, I asked Mondo to stop doing cardio because he would come to the gym and do an hour worth of cardio every day on an empty stomach. And I kept telling him, hey, man, you're burning muscle. If you stop doing cardio, you'll look like even more of a freak. He finally listened to me about 6 months ago, and he's put on noticeable size since then. And he was not a small guy to begin with. So, you know, it's all, at the end of the day, it's all about paying your dues in the gym and being disciplined with what you eat. And that's the magic and the beauty of bodybuilding, is that it allows guys to do that and to reach their full physical potential. So I'm very excited about this upcoming opportunity. Again, it's April 28th, the Derby City Championships, and myself and OVW's Jason Wayne will be competing in the bodybuilding and the men's physique categories, respectively.
Oh, awesome. Well, good luck to you. Hope you guys both place. It's cool stuff. Larry, you got anything you want to plug?
Just to mention, one of our other radio show hosts, Jonathan Williams, is hosting a party for his it's the first anniversary of Wrestling with Pop Culture, his website, and they're hosting a party on Wednesday, March 28th at the Masquerade in Atlanta, featuring the stars of Monstrosity Championship Wrestling and a bunch of other stuff, and he's got tickets available for $5 for those who wish to contact him. So check it out if you live in the Atlanta area.
Oh, great. I was going to say, now, Larry, I thought you might plug. I'll plug something Larry's going to be doing. Ali, you probably, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm going to be going to WrestleMania with Anne-Marie Ali. So not starting next week, but the week after that, for 3 weeks, the OVW TV reports that go all over the Internet are going to be in more than capable hands of Scary Larry Goodman, Ali. He's going to take the reports for a couple of weeks. So you better do good.
You know what? I bet the attendance count will then be accurate.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, don't, yeah, whatever, attendance count. You sound like Kenny Bowen with that bullshit. But anyway, yeah, I'm going to be, I've got family coming in town on the 21st, and then we're leaving for Miami on the 28th, and then after that, I'm on vacation. I want to do nothing. So Larry's going to actually do the reports for me for 3 weeks. Looking forward to that, Larry. And I guess Larry's going to send me an episode of Showtime, Reno Living, Full-Time All-Star Wrestling, which he reviews every week on the Internet, and I'm going to review one of those for him in lieu of him doing OVW for me. So he's going to get a different perspective for a few weeks on OVW. That's going to be very interesting. And thank you for covering my tracks for 2 weeks, Larry. I appreciate that. So
yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for the opportunity.
And I probably will chime in with my thoughts on the OVW shows, too, behind the reports after I watch them. And you mentioned Denver Wrestling Now, Larry. I guess we should go ahead. If people listen to podcasts, if you enjoy this show, right here on the Tuesday New Age Radio Network, there are several very interesting and eclectic shows. Every Monday night, like Larry said, Georgia Wrestling Now, 8 o'clock Eastern with Jonathan Williams, Danny Only, and Matt Jenkins. Wednesday night, Inside Rat, with our guest today, Mike Cipervivi and the legendary Les Thatcher. Thursday night, Secret Pandemonium, talking old school wrestling with Mike Norris, Bobby Simmons, and Jerry Oates. And Friday night to midnight, the Midnight Black Mass with Reverend Dan Wilson, who discusses heavy metal music, pop culture, comic books, a little bit of wrestling, and just whatever the Reverend wants to talk about. So there's a lot of great podcasts on this network, including us once a month. And leading to that, next month, Larry, and Ali already knows about this, April 15th will be our next show. We have a man making his podcast debut. I can't believe this guy has never done his podcast. But next month, Larry, the voice of WWE, Dean Hill, right here on WWE. So look forward to that. It should be great. And Rick, we'll talk to you guys on Saturday, April 15th. So Ali, get those legs in shape. Larry, get those fingers in shape. And for Mike Cipervivi, for Larry Goodman, for Mike Mondo, for Muhammad Ali Vaez, this is Trent Van Driessen. Thanks for joining us on this month's time. April 15th with Dean Hill. Tell them, folks. Watch OVW every Thursday at OVWrestling.com. Catch you next month, folks. Good night.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.